It's Andrea Cunliffe here with Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and we're talking with Nathan Schramm, who is a Grammy Award-winning composer, an entrepreneur, and a violist. And the reason we're talking to him today is because he is doing a wonderful talk with Friends of the Chamber Music of Troy, and he will be talking on February 18th at 7:30 via Zoom.
Yeah, that's right.
What is it about the viola that made it your instrument, that made it something you wanted to express yourself through?
Yeah, I mean, at the age of 10 when I started it, but I do remember a very specific thought process, which happened when they demonstrated the violin. And I thought it was so cool how you could play this instrument walking around, standing up. You were mobile, you were free in a way. But then I heard the cello and I thought it sounded so much better. It was much richer. It sounded, had a more natural sound. And then when they demonstrated the viola, an instrument I had not heard about before that hand ever in my life, I thought, oh, this is, why wouldn't anyone choose the viola? It's the best of both worlds. You get the richer sound quality of the cello, but you have this mobility like a violinist. Easy, viola, never looked back.
Well, I know the viola is considered initially a classical instrument.
Yeah, it's its widest use is in chamber music.
How adjustable is it for other forms of music besides classical music?
Yeah, that's kind of where I've driven my musical interest to. My life that's involved with teaching music in prisons, music is just a community builder at its core, I think, and it brings people together in a lot of different ways. And so what kind of music you're playing, it tends to do that.
You're the founder and artistic director of Musicambia.
It's a nonprofit organization providing music education programs in prisons and jails throughout the country.
So is it throughout the United States, or is there certain areas that you focus on?
Yeah, our goal is to be throughout in every state of the United States in another 15 years or so. But right now we have a few flagship programs that are where we do a bulk of our work, albeit, as I will talk about, it's a little bit limited during the pandemic years. But we work in, I think we're in about 5 states right now with programs that are fairly active. But yeah, we're constantly looking to expand and partner with other organizations, because it's not just about how we do the work, it's just about making sure this work is being done.
What interested you to begin this?
I've been aware of some of the social justice issues facing our country for a while, specifically around our Justice Department and our criminal justice ideas and concepts in this country, and how we incarcerate people more often based on the color of their skin and their socioeconomic level than whether their crime needs to be punished or not. And I've always known that this is something I wanted to address in my life, because it was one of these issues that I knew we would look back on in 30, 40 years and say, how could that have ever been? But I didn't know how to do that as a musician. My brother and sister are both lawyers and have very active social justice careers in their fields. My brother's formerly a public defender in Brooklyn and really saw kind of the front edge of these issues and helped teach me about some of the things that are, you know, right in front of our faces that we might not be aware of. Systemic inequalities in our incarceration system. And basically I had an opportunity through a program at Carnegie Hall to perform at Rikers Island one year for 2 different jails on the island. And it struck me as one of the most important performances I've ever given in my life, not just for the trajectory that it later sent me on, but because I'd never felt music as needed in those areas and performing in these jails and prisons in Rikers Island, where regardless of what style we were playing, I think we were playing kind of a mishmash of blues arrangements by Muddy Waters and Mozart flute quartets and Argentine tangos by Piazzolla. It was just kind of a mishmash of whatever we thought we could offer as something that someone might identify with. And all of it went over so beautifully that it made me realize that the genre isn't important. It's the fact that you're connecting with people and that people need music in their most difficult moments of their life. And that sent me on a path to really figure out how far can you take this? How far can you take music and help people with it? And it led me down this path of Musicambia, which is not only about, you know, in fact, we don't perform much for the people that are incarcerated. We focus all of our efforts on teaching them how to become musicians and how to express themselves through music and how to collaborate with each other through music. Any string instrument has a obvious belonging in classical music genre, and whenever you take it outside of that, people say, oh, it's crossover, it's new, and that is something that I'm excited about. I love going into situations where they want to make hip hop music. And I say, okay, we're going to make hip hop music, but you're going to have to make it with the instruments we got here. It's not always going to be the classic, you know, you get your MPC and you start making beats on a computer or something. Sometimes you might have to make a beat with a viola player or something. And I actually find in general, my musical life, that's where the interesting stuff lies where you kind of leave genre behind. I mean, the last thing a musician really thinks about. So for me, it's not an issue that it's a classical instrument because it's just music. And I love the idea of making it apply to whatever music I'm excited to make.
Brilliant. And that's probably why it's so adaptable to your music can be a project.
You know, your comment makes me think about is how much I've grown as a musician through Musicambia. Obviously the initial goal was to help people, you know, develop their life with music. And through that process and through learning what other people want to learn, I realized that I realized very quickly that I was not able to teach everyone everything they needed to know. I mean, that was kind of understood from the beginning. And so I brought on a lot of faculty to do that, but really no one is aware enough of music to be able to teach everything everyone wants to know about music. So what ends up happening is I've learned a lot. I've learned how to be a better songwriter. I've learned how to be a better composer, how to be a better arranger, how to play other instruments. I've been learning a lot of keyboard skills, and I've been working a lot on I play keyboard and piano almost more than I play viola at home, just because it's a whole different approach to music that I've been exploring, and I realize it makes me a better teacher. It makes me a better understander of music.
Working with the incarcerated in a number of countries and a number of places in the United States, that it's helped to expand your knowledge and your ability with music.
It, without a doubt.
You also have won a Grammy.
Yeah. It's for my work with the Ataka Quartet. So yeah, we won actually last year's Grammys for the best chamber music performance for our work with On a Record called Orange, music by Caroline Shaw.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nathan, I just want to ask you one more question. Mm-hmm. How have you seen, when you think of people who are incarcerated, it's very difficult to imagine that they'd be sitting down playing string instruments in a chamber music situation, or how has that changed them? How has that built up for those people who are incarcerated? Do they bring those skills that you've helped to give them to their life after prison? Or does it help them survive prison?
I mean, I can't speak to exactly how it helps them, because that's something very personal. You know, they've told us in a number of different ways how important it is, and how in some cases it's even saved their lives, to the extent that they were going down a mental path that was scary and dark, and music helped them realign that. And there's so many subtleties that I'll never be able to really speak truth to that, because I fortunately have never been incarcerated. But as far as it's being tough to imagine these men and women playing chamber music, for example, I think that's the biggest thing I want to communicate, is that as a society, we define these people by the worst things they've ever done. And it's not how we work with anyone else in our world. No one defines me by the worst thing I've ever done. In fact, the opposite. People usually define me by the best thing I've ever done, and they totally ignore all the horrible things I've done. Not that I've been horrible, but we've all made mistakes. And so the more, as a society, we can see these guys as people that have made mistakes, and see them just like anyone else that are going through a situation that society has deemed is necessary, doesn't mean we need to see them as pariahs in our society necessarily, and we can hopefully change our perspective, which makes it so difficult. I use quotes there because I don't think it's difficult to imagine them playing string instruments, because it's just like watching anyone else play string instruments. And when I go into these programs where there's music, it's a collegial, communal environment. And so if I communicate anything in speaking about this, it's that we need to see people as people and not as prisoners, and hopefully if we can change society's perspective on that, we can really address the bigger issues of how we incarcerate people and why we incarcerate people.
Thanks so much, Nathan Schramm. Thank you for your time. And I would encourage everyone to go on to the musicambia.org. Thank you.